Shanti, pace, peace, Friede, pacoi, per, Friede. Let it be peace. Let it be peace and love. With you and amongst all beings in the universe. Let it be peace. Let it be love. Let it be happiness. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Namaskar, Namaste, Namaste. Welcome, welcome. Welcome, everybody. So today we do a Q&A satsang, question and answer satsang. There have been some questions coming in via Madhukar Enlightened Life on Facebook. So we can share our presence, our peace, our love with others who will see this video later on. So even I do say our peace, our love, our joy, but there is no possessiveness in this. Peace is unlimited, not personal. Love, unlimited, no borders, no possession. Happiness also, beautiful virus, infective. So let's share that. First question comes from Ramesh Koirala. Ramesh comes from Nepal, a beautiful country in the Himalayas, where 2600 years ago Buddha was born. 2600 years ago Buddha was born, and he inquired into himself, was not accepting the common belief system about gods and God. He actually never speaks about God. He inquired into reality. As far as we know, by being silent. And there's also some teachings which are attributed to Buddha. Therefore, even till date, we speak about Buddha. It's now when you realize peace, Brahmas realize peace, then also there will be some effect in 2600 years. That means all of you make tremendous impact on the peace in the world. Definitely peace within yourself, peace with your neighbor. Here in the Sangha, also in the city where you live, in the country where you live, Ramesh wrote digitally, but somebody was writing it down on paper for me. Namaste Mere Priya Guruji. That means, I bow to you, I bow to the Self, my beloved Guru. Priya is love. In Hindi, also in Nepalese. His question is, how to remain silent without being touched by the mind? Can you give me any practice? Thank you, and lots of love, Pranesh. So his name Ramesh comes from the name, a name of God. Ram is God. Ram and Sita. Ram was a king, but also God-like king. Even longer ago than Buddha. Let's say 8,000 years ago in India. So now this is a very good question from Ramesh, because it stands at the very core of Advaita. This understanding that any mental activity, any practice cannot give you ultimate liberation. Because here he asks, of course, because his experience must be, he cannot be entirely silent. Always seems to be mental activity. And this mental activity disturbs you. Because when there's no mind, which you have experienced, if there's no mind, there is peace. If there's no mind, satisfaction is here. Our natural state, peace. No mind. Of course, our brain developed in a certain way that we are thinking, that we can plan, that we can remember, and this is very helpful for us in our ordinary life. Their mind, mental activity of your brain has a function. It's good. Therefore also one educates children in ethics, protection against danger and so on. So they learn also to use their brain to be safe, to be well. But for being peace, mind has no use. Why? Because when there's traditional meditation, which is a form of a practice, actually your mind gets stirred, gets activated. To a certain extent, it's beneficial because when you do a meditative practice, then form of concentration is used that you're not all over the place. It's your mind thinking this, thinking that. More concentrated on Buddha, for example. Buddha like a symbol of purity or enlightened being, and it might be a good orientation. And actually the original verb of meditation is dhyan, written dhyana, and it means nothing else than concentration. But now our master lineage says it is possible to be peace, to realize your true self without any practice. So even if you use self-inquiry, this question, who am I? This is also still a kind of a mental concentration, because you turn away also from mental content, from your mind, or from your emotional state, or your physical state, just to presence, I. But once you have realized this, any kind of practice should finish. No practice. No more stirring thought. As long as there's mental activity, mind will be active. You cannot do anything. Only by being present, then slowly, sooner or later, mind activity subsides. Some kind of cases it might happen to you instantly, thoughtless, instant presence. That also might happen. It's grace. Most cases, mind slowly becomes less and you become more peaceful, more present. So dear Ramesh from Nepal, I don't advise any practice. I free you from any kind of practice. Because already we are troubled by our mind. We are troubled by, I should be like this. I should become a better person. I should be positive. Now on top we do a practice. More duty, more stress. So I take away all the stress from you, all the trouble. Just be this presence. And once this presence is obviously here, beingness is here, somehow you relax. Your face relaxes. Your heart starts to beam, to shine. No past, no future. I am. white sugar that Buddha as a realized being taught this. When the master sits in beingness and doesn't speak, what can he say about it? Of course, after his death, what he spoke, or what his devotees remember that he spoke, or what they made up what he spoke, this now is called the teaching of Buddha. Therefore, it's very beneficial when you don't sit with some old teaching, but life. Life in the present. Your own presence, or the presence of the Guru. So thank you, dear Ramesh, for your question. Lots of love to you. Next question. Next question comes from Rainer. Rainer in Germany. When I wake up in the morning, fear wakes up too. Fear of existence, not to be able to handle the duties, and so on. How can I handle the fear? Now the English-speaking people, they know that another word for fear in English is German Angst. They really call it German Angst. So it might be something very German. Now I remember that I, many, many years ago, told this very Rainer, if you're looking, watching now, I told you to stop eating fear. But Rainer, still out of habit, out of addiction, out of doing what he always has been doing, continues to eat fear. What is eating fear when you eat animals who died in fear? Because animals are not happy and they are killed and they are slaughtered and they live imprisoned and tortured. They are not happy. Of course, the stress, tremendous stress, what the animal feels, experiences, when it gets slaughtered, goes in the flesh. When the cannibal, the human, who eats his brother, the dead animal takes in this fear. So it's very natural, Rainer, that you wake up with fear in the morning. But also, you write about fear of existence, afraid to be alive. of death. Why? Because they don't know what's going to happen. You don't remember death. If it exists, incarnation, still you don't remember death. Some people are afraid of death, but even more people are afraid of life. That's very strange. Because life you can experience. You can be here and enjoy each moment. Especially when Ryan came to our retreat, usually always comes to Ibiza with his wife. Then his face, which in the beginning is very serious and full of fear, it lightens up. Then after a week or two, he looks like a happy man. Then he goes back to Germany, German angst. Eats animals and wakes up in the morning with fear. What is the reason for that? What is the reason for that? It is called, my master would call it, ego. Ego, why? Because Rainer, you think that you have to handle your duties. This is called ego because you disrespect this life force, which gives you the power even to wake up, which gives you the power to walk, the power to work, or whatever his duties are. I don't know his duties, his work. But obviously, you believe that you are doing them, that you are handling them, and therefore there's tremendous stress on your shoulders. But if you realize there is a supreme power, a higher power here, which gives life to this body, then if you hand this over, if you surrender, then everything flows by itself. Still you can be happy. Wow, amazing creativity is flowing through me. Beautiful, all his hands are working. Amazing. Building a wall, wall is straight. Life experience has accumulated. My hands are moving perfectly. Power can create. And then there is no need of fear. There's no fear. Mostly the outcome is very good. Why? Because you work from joy. You work from ease. And sometimes the outcome might not be perfect, or some little accident happens, or you forget something. So what? Not such a big problem, right? So, dear Rainer, that's my advice. Look who moves you. Surrender to this power. And enjoy your veggies. Yeah, on top of it, he has some serious, some health problems, which also comes from this. Thank you. Now we turn to Russia. From Russia also came a question from Daria. Daria wrote, I feel the suffering of other people, especially loved ones, and this is reflected in my body and mind. How to be? Daria feels the suffering of others. Isn't it so that when we are happy, when we are happy, then we see happiness everywhere. When we are happy, then we see the butterflies and the flowers, and we hear the birds singing. Now Daria probably lives in a city, so there might be other sounds, but even the big cities, birds are singing. Actually nowadays, there's a higher variety of animals in the cities than out in nature. I find a lot of places and spaces to be next to the humans. I think they are there to keep the balance, keep the ignorance of the humans in balance. So you. So there might be some suffering in you, Daria. And I remember last September when I shared satsang in Enlightened Life in Moscow, I could see some suffering in you. Suffering from wanting some reality to be like you want to have it. And suffering from that. The world and the other is not exactly like you want it to be, like your ideal, like your idea about the ideal was not there. This made you suffer. And when there's continuous suffering, then of course also our body gets in trouble. Nobody reflects this, get worn out, and some health issues might happen. How to be? She asked, how to be? Well, first of all, be like a bee. What does the bee do? Means flying from flower to flower, from beauty to beauty, and drinking, sucking nectar, the best high potency what nature has to offer. And on top of it, not only egocentrically, collecting for herself, for her own joy, but also for the whole beehive, brings back nutrition for the community, sharing, and on top of it, in her love game with the flowers and the fruit trees and the vines, all plants from this eros, from this exchange, pollination happens. Without the bees, there would be no fruits, no flowers, no wine, nothing could grow. So Daria, be like a bee. Only if somebody troubles you too much, you can sting. Once in a while, you should sting. But in case of the bee, if she stings, she dies. Because her sting has a hook. She dies. Her body gets destroyed. The wasp, who doesn't give us honey, she is not like this. She can sting and fly on. But the bee is beautiful. Insect, which is nutritious honey, especially Russian people love honey. They're very wise, taking a lot of honey. They know. So this being is free, flying out freely. Still sharing and helping the whole world, the earth, to continue to shine and grow. So be free from your ideals, be free from your thoughts, be free from your duties. And of course, if you can help others who are suffering, then help. But actually, you can only help if you are free yourself. Then your help might be stingy sometimes, painful, wie ein Bienenstich, but it can really help. This was to Moscow. Shall we have more questions or how we are time? Being in the now, I forget the time. Here comes a question from the United States of America, from Christine. Why do I feel resistant to things that are good for me? So how to know what is good? How to know what is good? why there is resistance. So now if Christine would be here, I would ask her to define more precisely what she wants to tell here, what kind of things she speaks about. Because these good things, you must have a certain knowledge what is good for you, or a certain idea, a certain concept, what is good for you, and what is bad for you. And then why we continue to take in what is bad for us. Why do we eat what makes us tired? Why do we eat industrialized food? Why do we eat sugar in form of bread and car? If you know it makes our brain addicted and it's not healthy for our body. So the grain 100 years ago was more healthy and people had a different lifestyle, working a lot in the fields, then it was good for them to eat grain. But nowadays all grain is manipulated, altered, and not good anymore. People still love it to eat pizza, which is fat and sugar, and men, they feel bad about their body, who looks like a pizza, and then they start this judging themselves and being unhappy. Somebody tells them how to eat well, then they resist that. Why are you taking the joy away? This is my only joy I have. Because our brain tells us sugar is grain, industrial salt is grain, salt is grain. That's what the brain tells you, but it might not be good for you. What else could she feel resistance to? Does she feel resistance to be free? Does she, like most of us, hope for somebody to save her, to give her enjoyment and freedom? Somebody, a partner. It should be, of course, like this or like that. There's some resistance. Resistance to be as we are. Free. Free from the past, free from the future. Being now. So, Christine, you're very welcome to write to the next Q&A satsang, a bit more precise, what you feel, what kind of things. From here, we wish you all which is good for you. Now this question I have to understand first, because it is written in Swedish English. Robert Nordberg. That's a very good name because he lives very much in the north. And it's really in the north, very close to the Arctic Circle, oben am Polarkreis. That's pretty nice. This innermost close experience of me, Robert, who is the seeker sometimes, is now seen through. Is it by the same one that sees even consciousness come and go? The one that sees consciousness come and go. Well, there's one consciousness in which certain states come and go. Certain states come and go. Sleep state. Sleep state. Body is asleep. Body wakes up. And consciousness can see you waking up. Body waking up. And then there's a very, very clear presence, then you can even experience yourself sleeping. Because also in the morning, when you are asked, how did you sleep? You say, I slept very well. I slept excellent. There must be a consciousness who feels or sees or realizes that you're totally relaxed, happy, not troubled. So this is this one consciousness which is underlying everything, so-called waking state, when the body is awake. Also, your mind is awake, consciousness is here. And then, sleep state, body sleeps, but consciousness is still there. Then we have the dream state. Dream state is body sleeps, but again, mind is awake, and you dream. And again, consciousness can see this dream even while dreaming. Sometimes only you remember in the daytime, oh, I was dreaming this. What was it again? Sometimes you know the dream very well. Sometimes only fragments, and you concentrate, what did I dream? I'm interested, but nothing happened. And it's a horror dream, you like forget about it, you know. Let's take a shower and forget this dream, I'm so happy. I'm not in prisons. Nobody's running behind me. I'm free and happy. and it was a very nice dream, then you feel like, oh, let's go and sleep. Ananda relaxed. Continue dreaming. Beautiful harem. Wonderful women around. Caressing him. He said, I don't like to go to work. I feel very comfortable. Let's sleep half an hour more. Right? Yes. So he speaks about this innermost close experience, this innermost experience. And then he says, Robert gives this a name himself, who is the seeker sometimes. So sometimes it's not the innermost experience, but he becomes a seeker, seeker of this innermost. That's very, very beautiful. So often he becomes seeker of whatever, you know. Seeker of suffering, seeker of path, seeker of recognition, seeker of love, seeker of success, seeker of whatever. So consciousness does not come and go. Consciousness is always here. It's also very Advaitic, because there are very often different spiritual groups to speak about this kind of consciousness and higher consciousness, and this and that. But our experience is there's only one consciousness. This consciousness, persons, the heart, is underlying everything. That's truth. Sorry, we don't call it higher consciousness. It might be not so special. Sorry, it's only blissful and peaceful. That's all. Just joy and peace. If you want something else, go to hell. Go to heaven. Here is only peace and joy. That's all. Robert. Greetings to the Arctic Circle, Taksimukic, Shalak, love. Then another question from Russia, Rossiya, from Vladimir. Как дела, Vladimir? He writes, he wrote in Russian, and so it was written in Cyrillic, but somebody was translating it. Master, please give me the right advice. Vladimir is a very good man, and the nice things for me now in this question-answer satsang, that each one of the people who asked, I know personally, all of them have been in satsang, all of them I could share enlightened life in Russia, in Sweden, in Nepal even, in Germany, and so on, in the United States also. That's very beautiful, so I can directly speak and give my advice. Be happy. Be happy and grateful to be here now. Realize this tremendous grace in you and in the connection. You are not alone. You are not connected through a book. No, you are directly together. One. Faster than this airplane, my love is reaching out to you. Embracing you. Each one of you. Om Tat Sat. Om Shanti. Shanti, Shanti. Thank you very much for joining here, and thank you very much. Our love to you out there. on the thank you. Спасибо большое. Так сумку. Так же. Grazie.